Easter is a great victory. God has raised, crucified Jesus from the tomb. And yet, the message of Easter is even more dramatic than that. It's even more than Christ is raised and we will get to see our loved ones one day in heaven. Even more than that, the victory of Easter is best characterized in the gospel this morning. Mary Magdalene makes for the tomb, and she encounters a man there whom she takes to be the gardener. But then the man calls her by name, Mary, and she sees that it's the Lord before her. Now, why didn't Mary recognize Jesus? She had accompanied Jesus throughout his ministry. I wonder if it's because not only did Mary not expect dead Jesus to be raised, but more than that, is it because Mary did not expect the risen Jesus to return to her? These Easter stories are not eyewitness accounts of people watching a once dead body stride forth from the tomb. Nobody saw that. Easter stories are all about appearances. The risen Christ appearing to the very people who felt betrayed and who betrayed Christ and who forsook him at his crucifixion. Another gospel has the women go out to the tomb in the darkness. And there they encounter a young man in white who says to them, "He isn't here, he's risen, he's already in Galilee by now, you just missed him." Why Galilee? I mean, it's kind of a forlorn outback kind of place. You might think the risen Lord on the first day of his resurrected life might go someplace really important, like maybe the palace in Jerusalem, and show up before an astounded Pontius Pilate and say, "Oh, Pontius Pilate, you made a big mistake. Gotcha." Or maybe he'd go to the palace of Tiberius in the Palatine in Rome, where the emperor lived, and say, "Okay, Caesar, gotcha." But no. The Gospels all say that the risen Christ returns first to his disciples, not to anybody important nor powerful. He shows up to those who dared to follow him. So you see, the great Easter truth is not that he is risen, which would have been pretty great all on its own, but rather the truth is he is risen for us, to sinners like you and me. That great 18th century preacher John Wesley said, "It's one thing to say God is love, but true Christian faith occurs when somebody's able to say, God is love for me." That's what we learned on Easter. God is not just the Lord of life, but rather he is the Lord of love and the Lord of love moving towards us. It would have been a wonder enough to exclaim Jesus came back from the dead, but this is the day that we celebrate that Jesus came back from the dead for us. Jesus wants to leave no one behind. There isn't anywhere Christ won't go for you. The first epistle of Peter tells us of Christ's descent into hell. After his death on Friday afternoon, when he breathed his last, Jesus, always on the move, descended to hell. Icons which depict this moment show Jesus grasping Adam and Eve by the wrists and pulling them, yanking them out of their coffins, literally dragging them out of death into life. Jesus keeps doing what he did in his earthly ministry. He keeps showing up, uninvited, revealing himself to people who don't deserve him, like you and me. And really, that's the basis of your faith. Really, I'm so bold as to say that's why you're here this morning, that in some way or another, Jesus has shown up to you. In one of Paul's letters, read this morning, when he's beating up on some squabbling congregation and they say, hey, Paul, what gives you the right to tell us how we should be church? You know the story. Paul says the risen Christ appeared first to the 12, and then to a larger group, and then to one untimely born, and then he appeared to me, Paul says. That's the basis of Paul's authority. Well, that's the basis of your authority as a Christian. The risen Christ has shown up to you. Why are you here this morning praying these prayers, singing these songs, affirming the faith? Well, in some way, shape, or form, God Almighty decided not to be God ruling in heaven without you. I'm sure if we had time, you could each tell stories of parents or some weird thing that happened to you on the highway one night or some snippet of a hymn or a moment at the communion rail. When you were reached out and grabbed, in some way or another, the risen Christ came back for you. Oh, I've got to admit, sometimes we get this wrong. So we talk about our Christian lives saying, since I gave my life to Christ, or since I took Jesus into my heart, since I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, I. No, that's not the way the scripture works. You didn't take the risen Christ anywhere. He takes you places. And that's the astounding thing. Not that you made a decision for Christ. The astounding thing that we learn at Easter, the astounding thing is that God Almighty has made a decision for you. He has made a decision for us. He came back to us. Christ keeps coming to those who've got absolutely no way to come to him. Easter keeps happening. The God who raised the crucified Jesus from the dead, this God refuses to be God without you. God keeps showing up. God's mighty sovereignty, God's reign on earth as it is in heaven, happens when the risen Christ shows up. Shows up to those who have failed in their ability to show up to him. A while back, a young woman appeared in my office. She said she just moved to St. Louis and just joined one of the largest, most prestigious law firms in town as an associate. She said, I want to tell you a story. She said, like a lot of people, I went to church as a child, but I grew out of that. And then I went to an Ivy League school. And then I got into one of the top five law schools in the United States on a full scholarship. And I'm sitting there thinking, why do I have to listen to this? And she said, I was sort of surprised when my husband suggested we come here to church on one Sunday for the music. My husband is an aficionado of classical music, she said, and we found the music competent. In fact, we came back another Sunday. And I thought, why? Why do I have to hear all this? And then she said, last Sunday during communion, as the choir was singing the anthem, I just sort of lost consciousness. I fell back in my pew. I was spellbound. I just felt swept up by this warm, bright glow. And it might not have happened for more than just a second or two, but it seemed like an eternity of a fond embrace. And I sat there transfixed, and I murmured to myself, I'm back. I'm back. And I said, that's really amazing. If Jesus would do something like that for a lawyer, what hope might there be for the rest of us? Jesus comes back for Adam and Eve. Jesus comes back for Mary Magdalene. Jesus comes back for the disciples. Jesus comes back for Paul. Jesus comes back for you and for me. Alleluia.